Welcome back to another broadcast. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I've really alluded to this passage of Scripture in light of the topic that we are discussing. This is part two on a lie that some people believe, and this lie is, it is easier to avoid problems than to face them. And as we've discussed in a previous broadcast, by avoiding problems, we only make the problem more difficult. The problem will not go away. It will only become greater in intensity, and sometimes lead to even other problems. And we used as a case in point, if someone's having a struggle in their marriage, and they ignore the problem, will the problem go away? Of course it won't go away. It'll just get worse. Because there's the problem, they'll decide to not talk to each other, or they'll talk less. And because they're not talking, they're not communicating about issues that revolve around that problem. And then now they're not even being close together, and they just drift further and further apart because of avoiding a problem. It's much like if we have a health issue and we avoid the health issue. Will the health issue go away? Of course it won't go away. Unless we address the health issue, it will only become worse. Sometimes problems that could have been dealt with successfully become so problematic that they become terminal. And so we can see just from those couple examples, and you may know some in your own life or in other people's lives, where they haven't dealt with issues like they were supposed to. They did not address them. They tried to avoid them. And in doing so, the problem only became worse. Some things we looked at in the previous broadcast. Problems don't go away. They pile up day after day. Avoidance is not an escape, but it is a postponement. By avoiding problems, you do not escape them. You will face them at a later day. Suffering must be endured until the problem is faced. The longer it takes for you to finally address the issue, you will be bothered by it and suffer from it. Did you ever have a problem with a person? And you were upset, and you were agitated, you needed to confront them about it, and the longer you waited, did the agitation and frustration and anger go away? Of course it didn't. You found yourself thinking about it when you didn't even want to think about it. Until finally you addressed the issue. When you did, you were able to resolve it, and the whole thing went away. But eventually, you had to face the problem. And until you did, you just endured all kinds of discomfort and all kinds of pain. Problems often grow in magnitude if they're left unattended. And we also talked about when a problem is faced, it is seldom as bad as it was imagined to be. People who avoid pain usually end up with more pain in the long run. And that's so true when we avoid problems. We looked at a couple other passages of Scripture, and the one was in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attend unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here Paul's talking about what happens in a person's life, and our life is going to have difficult times in it, and that difficult times can be times of suffering, but we need to face those times. We need to, this is maybe not exciting, we need to embrace those times, because God has allowed them for a specific purpose, and he wants to build our faith. And so let me talk to you about how to handle a problem. Suppose you have a problem with someone or a situation. How do I handle that problem? You're telling me don't avoid it, but I'm avoiding it because I don't know how to handle problems. Well, here's some guidelines. When you're ready to face whatever problem it is, or whatever problem you believe it to be, the first thing you need to do is you need to pray for guidance. You need the Lord, who is your shepherd, to guide you through this valley. He wants to be there for you, and he wants to guide you. He wants to use this as a time of building. He wants to use this as a time of him manifesting his presence to you, his power to you, his guidance to you. So before you go off, you know, half-cocked, ready to jump in and attack this problem. Just slow down. Take your time and pray for guidance. Talk to the Lord about it. You know, I used to always feel that I had to address problems right away. And I learned that I do not always have to address problems right away. Sometimes I can wait. Sometimes I can wait a day, or sometimes I can wait a couple, 3 days. I'm not procrastinating. I'm waiting to make sure that the decision that I decide to apply in solving this problem is really actually the right decision. And so take time, pray, and ask the Lord for guidance. Then get yourself a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and then write down and define your problem. Write down exactly what the problem is, so that when you read it, you can look right at it. So, I have a problem with my brother. We haven't spoken for a long time, and it all started over that time at the family reunion where we got into a discussion and some things were said that shouldn't have been said. There's your problem. Whatever it is, write it down. Write down what the problem is. Write down the details of it so you can identify what the problem is. You cannot address the problem and solve the problem if you cannot define the problem. So we're praying for guidance and we're asking the Lord to guide our steps. And even as we're trying to define the problem, sometimes we only define half the problem. Ask Him to guide your steps. Then when you believe that He's guided you, and you've stated in writing whatever the problem is, then jot down alternative solutions to your problem. Well, I could do this, or I could do that. I could call them. I could write them. Should I go alone? Should I get somebody to go with me? Should I write them first and then follow up? What's the problem? Suppose it's a financial problem. Okay, how should I solve this? Should I try and sell items to cover this debt? Should I try and consolidate debt? What should I do? Define your problem and look at some of the solutions. You have a problem at work, problems with coworkers, problems with a skill or a task, problems with what you think is a problem that you have at work. What are some alternative solutions that you have? Write down the one or two or three different ways you could address the problem. Avoiding it is not one of them. Write down what those solutions are. Don't think about the ramifications, just write them down. Because step number four is, then identify the possible results from each solution. So you've got three different solutions for a problem maybe that you've come up with. All right, then look at solution number one. Okay, if I do this, what's going to be the outcome? If I say this, what will they say? Will they get upset? Will they stop talking? What will they become physical? What will be the ramifications if I do this? And list them. And then look at your second alternative. What are the ramifications for doing that? And do that for each of your problems. Recently, I had a vehicle. It was an older vehicle, and the catalytic converters went. Both of them went. Took my car to get inspected, and I got a phone call saying, we need to talk about your car. That's never good news, right? And so he told me it was going to be, you know, he doesn't have them. He has to order them, and each catalytic converter is $1,000 a piece. Another $500 probably to install them because he's not going to be able to alter the exhaust as old as the vehicle is, new exhaust. I'm figuring, man, the car's got 150,000 miles on it. Am I going to put $2,500 in this car? No. So what are my solutions? I could put $2,500 in the car, and then I began to shoot that down. Well, I already know I need a tune-up on top of it, and I've got a stick shift, so where's the clutch? All right, what's the clutch going to be like? What's my transmission like? Am I going to put $2,500 in this car and then, you know, 6 months later, another $1,500 might be another bill that I'm going to face? So I looked at that option. Option number two, should I just not get a second car? Just keep with one car? Should I get an inexpensive car? Problem with an inexpensive car, you're going to buy somebody else's problems. Then what should I do? I had some money to put down, okay? Should I put that money down? How much is it going to affect the payment if I get a car with a payment, which I eventually did? but I looked at all of my options and what were the ramifications of those decisions that I made. And then after I began to define my problem and look at some of the solutions and some of the ramifications or results of the solutions, I began to say, well, that's not a good choice. And that's not a good choice. And I finally was narrowed down to, I think I need to buy a car, and I need to buy the newest car that I can possibly buy with the lowest number of mileage and within this price range. And that's what I set out to do. And so I wound up, instead of putting money down on a car, I paid off the wife's car. That one's paid off now. It's completely done. And the car payment that she had is a little bit smaller than the one that I have now. It's not what I wanted to do, but as I prayed my way through it, defined my problem, looked at my alternative solutions, what are the ramifications or the results for each of those possible alternatives, and then I was able to then pray about it and decide what was the best step to take. And that's number five, decide on the step that you will take. And then once you decide on that and you take that step, act and trust in the Lord. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you through your way. And so here's what I did. So I went out on a Thursday and I looked at some cars. I looked at one in Downingtown. I looked at a couple in Westchester. I went to Thorndale. I went to three lots in Westchester. And so I had maybe four or five cars that I had it narrowed down. I mean, I was on the laptop going through all of the different, you know, you download the app with all the cars that are for sale in your area. And that's how I found them. Then I went to go look at them and I saw what they look like, you know, and some of them right off the bat, boom, that's not the car I want. And so I narrowed it down to about four or five and I had them in a pecking order. Which one I wanted first, I thought to be the best deal. If I could make a deal on that, I would stop. If I couldn't get the deal I wanted, I would go to car number two. And so I put them in the pecking order, and then the next day I went to go test drive the cars. I test drove car number one. They gave me what I wanted for my trade-in, got them to come down a little bit in the price to what was in the range that I wanted. Boom, everything was set. And then I just trust in the Lord and just rest because I've asked Him to guide me. You know, it's difficult to face making big decisions like that. But I can tell you, avoiding it is just like being in prison. Prison in your mind. Every time you think about it, then your emotions start to get stirred. You start to get troubled. You get a stomach ache. You get a headache. A knot in your gut. Oh man, who wants to live like that? Address the problems that you have. Because when you procrastinate, the problem isn't going to go away. It's just probably going to get worse. And then when you decide or you are forced to take care of that problem, the problem is going to be much bigger. Sometimes even to a point that you may not be able to solve the problem. And so don't procrastinate. There's a fear that you have. And let's talk about the truth. What's your trigger? Having to make a major decision. And what's your reaction? You get upset, you get stressed, you get worried, you get fearful. What is your unhealthy or unspiritual response? Avoid it. Run from it. Do anything else but that. But you know what? What's the truth, the right way of thinking about it? We're looking at T, what's the truth way of thinking about it? That this is a situation that the Lord wants to guide me through. And He wants me to rest in Him. And when I trust in Him, I'm going to be stronger. And it's a chance for God to show Himself mighty on my behalf and for Him to guide my words, guide my thoughts, and for me to realize how much I really do need Him. And then when I get through the trial, I can praise Him and be thankful. And then you have the healthy response. Go ahead and do it. So, until the next time, God bless.